Welcome to Featured Creatures.
I am Alan.
I'm Alex.
And I am Garrett. And I have the goddamn audacity
to use Audacity.
Which I just learned is no longer destructive editing based. So I am.
I'm sure it's still not as good as what you're using, but
I don't care. It doesn't matter as long as it works. I just didn't want you having to wait for that preview to edit. Like, oh, wait. Those mids are too high. Undo.
Oh, no.
Again, and go, ooh. Because it also took.
Oh, I'd probably not be. I would not be using it if I've had to deal with that.
That's what I thought was going on. I was really worried.
No. It's crazy because, like, like, a couple of years ago, I was like, oh, I want to clip together a funny video for YouTube. And, like, just looked for free video editing software and settled on DaVinci Resolve. And was, like, taken aback by, like, non-destructive editing. It was really freaky. I was not prepared. It was like, I really just want to crop stuff and shove it together, please.
I remember when I was making old videos with Windows Movie Maker.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I got a new computer that had, like, the updated not Windows XP version. Yeah. And it basically went from a pretty good, like, video editing platform to PowerPoint 2.
Exactly.
It turned awful and unusable.
Yeesh.
So speaking of awful and unusable.
Oh.
We're doing something different for today's episode.
Really?
Remember if you...
We're going to do something wonderful and listenable?
Something compelling.
You know what?
Well,
I will sell...
Compelling.
No, it's not compelling. Never mind. I can't lie. A few episodes ago, I brought up the book The Inhumanoids by Barton M. Nunnally.
Yeah.
And I finally went through and found a couple stories, but this is the first one that came out to me in the chapter, like, not even chapter. The book doesn't have an index or a table of contents, but it does have a bibliography.
Okay.
So the section in the book that this was under was Giants and Diminutives.
All together.
All the giant stuff was stuff like we already covered or is actual history, like the ones they sent to the Smithsonian that, like, disappeared.
Mm-hmm. They love those skeletons.
The one they found under like 40 feet of bat guano.
I wonder how he died.
Just imagine.
Exactly. Swarmed.
Little.
Do you think that'll happen if you, like, you know, when you kick a hornet's nest, if you kick a bat cave, they'll just all swarm and
just one big stalactite and they just all... Man, you know, here's my question.
I'll be
though.
Worth when... so much money.
Oh.
When are we going to decide that giant is pejorative?
I've been wondering about this.
When there are giants around to be offended.
Oh, well, all, note like... to self.
I don't know, Garrett. I think that sounds...
Andre the what now?
The only thing I can hear is this cool, refreshing Pepsi.
Are you drinking another peppermint Oreo flavored Pepsi?
Oh my god.
This, no. It's just regular Oreo flavored Coke.
Okay. Well, you know.
No, this is just a Pepsi. Zero sugar. No.
Way to deflect from the slurs, Garrett.
I know. He's like, hey, look, this is not a...
So, the opposite of giants.
I love being implicated in this. Thank you.
It's a slurricane.
This is like if you had a book that were like, what's appropriate for the podcast? I gotta think for a second. If it were like crackers and Southeast Asians, you just have a chapter that's that. It's just like,
Recording in progress.
Oh, great. I'm glad that...
Just in case.
I need that as a soundboard button. Need that one.
I'll clip it for you.
Throw that. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
We've had so many technical difficulties lately.
That's true.
Just in case.
Mercury's in Gatorade again, too.
Yeah.
Oh, no. So
but
this little...
Things are probably good for Shefton, right?
If there's mercury in Gatorade,
it means you don't break things by looking at them because it's like reversed.
I don't break things by. That's my dad.
You've done it. You looked at the mic and you killed it. It's all.
But I like to believe that I figure out how to suppress that other genetic power. and only keep the power to find objects.
So this section,
I don't even know that it's limited to objects. It might just be things.
Things. So this section of that book was called Organs, Tiny Terrors. Looked a bunch of places. I can't say everywhere, but I checked Reddit, I checked Cryptids Wiki, the Obscurbin, for any sighting like this, for this sighting, or little guys in Oregon.
Just secondary confirmation.
Wait, did you say Oregon or Oregon?
Oregon.
Oh, I thought these were little guys in the Oregon.
So Pacific. They're little men inside your liver going, bleh.
Well, that's why you can't find them. They're busy.
They just have like comically oversized forks. Just like, bleh.
Oh, no.
Give me a piece of those delicious Oregon meats.
Yeah, couldn't find anything.
You don't need a pancreas.
Well, I think I have a story for this later. I think my brother did find these, but I'll let you tell me so we can find out.
Okay.
Like, physically, he encountered them. Like, a man on the street segment.
Are you going to show us one of the pictures of someone in Mexico with the fairy in a bottle?
No, not this time.
Alternatively, that's a picture the wasp of one of those from people Marvel. In Mexico that are very, very hairy.
The Breadlow family, while vacationing in Oregon in 1997, underwent a terrifying series of events, including malicious, diminutive, inhumanoid creatures.
Wait, hold on. Malicious, diminutive, inhumanoid creatures?
Yeah. That's my favorite Saturday morning cartoon.
That's what I was going to say. That sounds like a cartoon.
The crossover they had with the Wild West Cowboys of Moo Mesa.
Oh my goodness, don't even get me started. It's like the kind of thing where it would like a toxic Avenger, or it'd be like a wildly inappropriate like horror comedy that they decided was great for children's cartoon.
Like Robotech and Rambo and
RoboCop and
I mean, I meant RoboCop. Cops.
It's okay. Robotech is also a, you know, movie about war and, you know, artistic propaganda, so It's not really appropriate for kids either.
They had arrived at a quaint little cabin nestled among the high cliffs along the Oregon coast, overlooking the Pacific Ocean. In July, there has to have need to be punctuation there.
Well, I mean, look, this book, you said, lacked chapter markers and an index, so, I mean...
Overlooking the Pacific Ocean in July, and we're looking forward to spending the next 2 weeks relaxing and enjoying the outdoors. But... it wasn't meant to be. I'm moving my tablet.
I
have to get ready for these quotes that I had highlighted so I wouldn't run the quotes together. Almost from the very first moment I set foot in the cabin, I felt a strange vibe coming from one of the storerooms in the back, said Margie Bedlow, 47, music teacher. I think Violet, our little one who just turned 8 that May, felt it as well. She held Muggins, her stuffed kitty doll, up to her mouth and whispered into the torn cloth ear. And now we have a quote within a quote. I hope we don't have to sleep back there. I hope we get the bedroom by the kitchen.
Muggins looked horrified. Sewed on mouth.
This mouth sewn shut, but a scream ushered forth. Lloyd Breadlow, 48, Margie's husband and also a teacher, and her oldest daughter, Deanne, 13, all helped unpack quickly, intending to go on a hike through the woods before dark. As they were walking cautiously along a narrow path that led to a waterfall, a strange kind of mist settled around us. It was very frightening. We couldn't see a thing or each other. The girls had been walking ahead of us, and we called out for them to answer us and walk back towards us at once. Deanne responded almost immediately and was soon back among them, clinging together in the thick dark clouds. But there was no response at all from Violet. They called for her for several minutes with no answer. Just as panic was settling in, the strange mist quickly dissipated and they heard Violet's voice calling out from behind them. I had to burp.
I thought you were going to hit like some kind of crazy sound effect.
Nope, I hit mute the mic.
My favorite.
Well, where the fuck was I?
The mist.
Got behind them, Violet answered. They carried me through the air and set me down again. It was pretty scary, but they promised they wouldn't hurt me. On further questioning, young Violet claimed that she didn't hear anyone yelling for her, and she had seen no fog. Margie later commented that she should have made everyone pack up and leave immediately. There was something very strange about that cabin and the woods around it. I felt it, she claimed, but I couldn't define it. So I told myself not to allow my imagination to run away with my reason. That night, after supper, she was puzzled to see Violet preparing two plates of leftovers. When asked what she was doing, Violet answered that they must be fed twice a day, or they will become angry with them and make them leave.
Is this kind of story? All right.
When they asked who they were, the girl replied, "The two little people who carried me in the air above the trail and who live in the storage room." Thinking her daughter was playing pretend, she told her to go ahead and walked with her to the back storage room. Violet opened the door and sat the plates down just inside the room. Then knelt down to await the diminutive's arrival. After a moment waiting, she said, "They said they won't eat while we're watching." She held her mother's hand and she stood up. And they hadn't taken more than one or two steps when the door of the storage room suddenly slammed noisily shut. Margie couldn't help but jumping and letting out a little shriek, which brought Lloyd on the run.
I'd be out of there. I'll see you later. I don't know what's going on, but I don't want to be a part of it. We're getting out of here.
When asked what was going on, Violet told him that they are feeding two little people in the storage room.
It's just a couple of out-of-work dwarf actors that are living good. They got a racket going on. You invite people to your cabin, and they feed you also.
It's better than being in the movies.
What year is this,
by 97.
The way? Oh, this is 1997. I see. Okay. What were these Lloyd Bredlows, like the most turn-of-the-century friggin' Great Depression, like hopping a rail car, bindle carrying name I've ever heard? Like,
it also really bugs me that throughout this entire thing, it's spelled with one L.
Oh,
this is wildly inappropriate. Add that to the list of things wrong with this book. But I mean, like, for real, like, this Lloyd, Margie, Violet, like the Mr. Buggins or whatever for the puppet. Like, come on.
Don't forget
Deanne. 1997. This is 1897.
And don't forget Deanne. Capital Deanne. D, lowercase okay, E, well, capital yeah,
that's,
A.
That's well, the only one that's throwing it off.
This is like that movie The Others, where the trick is like, they're the ghosts.
Oh my gosh. I am your daughter. That's true. Oh my, you're right. It's The Others, but it's like the full moon video version of it. they're dwarves instead. And it's just reused puppets from Munchie. Yeah.
Assuming that she'd meant chipmunks or wood rats or some other cute animal, he chided her for feeding vermin, then opened the door to have a look. Sure enough, there sat two plump-looking rats eating the leftover food from the plates. Then both he and Deanne looked inside and saw the rats for themselves. But he's already looking in there.
They were revealed upon opening.
Lloyd located and grabbed a nearby broom. "Please, Daddy," Violet said. "Don't hit them. Don't hit them with the broom. You're going to make them very, very mad."
Yes, I mean, two plump rats. I'm kind of scared now, actually.
Oh, fuck. I knew I forgot to download something.
The rats.
The Templeton song.
Oh, yeah.
Smorgasbord.
Okay, all right. A fair is a veritable smorgasbord, bork, orgasbord.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that's a classic right there.
Just as Lloyd, broom in hand, reached the door, it inexplicably slammed violently shut. And try as he might, he could not get it open again. At length,
Also written like it's from the turn of the century.
At length, he gave up and walked off mumbling that the doors must have locked itself from the inside. He set the broom aside and went out to sit on the front porch swing.
This is my favorite story. We got psychic magical fairy rats.
As soon as he was out of sight, the door mysteriously opened on its own, and the two paper plates licked clean sailed out onto the floor. I'll have to do this the creepiest, like, possessed girl. They liked your potato salad and jello, Mommy, Violet said. But they really wanted more of the baked beans. Oh, and they don't really like them to be called rats, but they can look like anything we want them to.
I want them to look like giant rats. So that's
it's like basically a rat, but like 4 feet long.
I want them to look like a rat, but an orb. When asked how she knew what they were saying,
Muggins wanted them to look like a rat, so Muggins could eat them.
Yes.
Yeah, this is giving me definite Pod People vibes, honestly. When but asked, like, if there's two of them. Wait, there are two in Pod People.
My God. When asked how she knew what they were saying, the youngster replied that she could hear them inside her head, the same way they had spoken to her when they first met. Her mother then inquired what the two looked like when they didn't look like rats. Like two little people, Violet replied, but weird little people with funny, crinkly faces. The next few days seemed idyllic. Margie and Violet secretly fed the little people twice daily, and all was peaceful. Lloyd caught up on some reading. She worked on music compositions, and the girls busied themselves reading or working puzzles. None of them knew that Lloyd had set out a rat trap.
Oh.
And that he'd purchased in the village earlier that day.
I don't like where this is going.
Then, just before sunset on the fifth afternoon of their stay at the secluded cabin, Margie heard the terrible sound of metal slapping wood. I don't know why I like that phrase so much.
These magical beings are about to get rat trapped.
They're really hungry.
they put a pile of baked beans on there.
They can slam a door and fucking turn into whatever they want. But
right,
they can't.
They're invisible, like telepathic mystical creatures, and it's like, ow, a mouse trap.
Yeah.
I transfigured myself to be the size to get rat trapped. Like,
if only I was not perfectly that size. Right?
If only I had been slightly bigger, I'd be fine.
The sound of metal slapping wood and the scream that accompanied it. She dashed into the room, realizing with dread that the scream was coming from Violet, who was just standing there with her hands pressed against her temples. In an instant, she somehow knew that one of the little men had been caught in the trap, and the telepathic link that her daughter shared with them was causing her to feel the pain.
Ooh, okay.
What was that?
It was my monitor.
Exploding.
Oh, yeah, capacitors.
Yes.
See, we're not going to talk about it.
She dashed.
Oh, yeah, there's like exactly one, like up in the upper right corner.
No, it's the reason I was so shocked is for me when capacitors explode, it's different. It means I fucked up and I'm going to get hurt.
No, this one is just probably old.
She dashed to the storage room and flung open the door. There, to my everlasting astonishment, she later stated, was a smallish man dressed all in green doing his best to free another elfin creature from the metal bar of the trap that had slammed down across his foot. Just his foot.
All right.
The injured elf, obviously in excruciating pain, was opening his mouth in a silent scream that was issuing in full volume from my daughter's mouth. Summoning all her courage, she managed to get her fingers beneath the bar of the trap and lifted high enough for the little man to escape. Violet stopped screaming as both creatures disappeared in a flash. Margie then heard a tiny, angry voice proclaim, "If it's rats he wants, it's rats he gets."
Yes, yes. And then
some menacing pan flute music happens.
No sooner than he...
Oh, no, they're going to get guanoed. like the giant.
Four giant skeletons found encased in rat guano.
No sooner than she had gathered her wits about her when Deanne came running down the hall shouting, "Rats, Mummy! Rats everywhere!" It was true. Dozens and dozens of rats had suddenly appeared out of nowhere and overrun the entire cabin.
Yeah, I'd be out of there. I'll see you later.
We just quickly salvaged what we could and got out of there as quickly as possible, Margie said. She came away from the experience absolutely convinced that both she and her daughter had experienced direct contact with unexplained supernatural entities.
malicious, diminutive, and humanoid creatures.
No, these guys
Saturday are at 9. Yeah, so that was the first one that I came across that seemed fun.
Yeah, that's a good story, honestly. Surprisingly decent, technical errors aside.
Yeah.
But you said you found no secondary confirmation of this?
No.
Like, no one the story was ever told to?
No.
That sucks. I wish you'd never told me that, Garrett.
No, that's why this one's real.
I want to believe. That's why it's real. They said it in confidence.
I searched, like, medium hard, like 60-70% sure. effort. I'm sure if Alex, I tried,
Are you saying your criteria is that, like, because, like, other people try too hard to make it sound realistic, that if nobody's trying, it must be real?
Yeah, it's stupid. You would never tell this if it wasn't true.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree with you on that.
Like, your life got ruined because you didn't want to give your baked beans.
No, they were fine giving the baked beans. The husband
wasn't fine with it. He's the one who rat trapped. He's like, no, I worked hard for these baked beans.
That's when you realize that your husband's dead inside.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. Who knows?
But also the reason, you know, this really just is more of like a fae folk type thing. That's why
it's it's 100% fairies.
Like this stuff isn't, that's not on the radar of most people on the internet.
That's true. That is true.
That's why no one wants to move that Bagfoot's a fairy.
See, I like the idea, you know, hearing this was in 97, it completely recontextualized it for me, Garrett, because maybe this is like a Jefferson situation. It's like a black family. They got out of the city and this is like their first real vacation. And so like, you know, this is what the dad's used to. We don't have mysticism in the concrete jungle, as Julius described it. Rats he wants, rats he gets.
I just tried a different way of searching it up, and I found something.
Oh, no. We're doing it live, folks. Real-time research.
Yeah, I just typed into Google, Breadlow, 1997.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it never occurred to me that maybe that wasn't, like, an alibi or pseudonym.
Oh, so you just assumed that it was a fake name.
Yeah. I see. And then the first thing that showed up was a link to paranormal-world-fandom.com. If it's rats he wants, ..
Yeah, so this is a proto meme.
Starts off with
someone's signature on their Mediafire thing.
No, it starts off with a quote from Neil Gaiman from Coraline.
All
right. that sets the tone for this big time.
Okay, I can imagine that the two children of the Breadlow family chattered amongst themselves in excitement in the back of the car as they pulled up to the cabin. It was a dazzling piece of coastal Americana, a small cabin nestled, blah, blah, blah. July of 97, 2 weeks in the cabin. A dream vacation was about to become a nightmare.
We are not reading the story again, Garrett.
No, I'm skimming it. I'm not reading it all. But it is in the the case files, Faye, Oregon.
Yeah.
Maggie, yep.
I mean, do we know that they didn't just, like, read the same book?
This is also way better written.
Maybe the book read this post.
The book tried to do the thing with it.
Nope, the source is the book.
Oh,
yep,
no.
Checkmate.
I still believe it's real. I don't care. I want rats. Rats is what I get.
Rats he wants. Rats he gets.
The story comes from The Inhumanoids by Barton M. Nunnally, which is a great book for the sheer diversity of humanoid encounter stories told within its myriad pages. But unfortunately not nearly as great when it comes to sourcing these stories. Been able to track down a few of the tales related in the book. Back to Neil Arnold's Monsters, the A to Z of Zooform Phenomena.
Zooform?
Yeah. Alright.
Hmm.
Oh, but it's still, I like this. Like, I'm gonna skim through it at work while I'm doing nothing.
No, these are my favorite type of stories.
And we'll hit up a bunch more of these. And
I agree. I mean, I do enjoy when there is a narrative form, you know, because unfortunately a lot of the sightings have like a paragraph of a narrative.
And it's like, I saw it.
Basically.
That's why, like, our all-star, like, sightings things we've done have been, like, the invisible, like, Bigfoot in the front yard and the hot grandpa Bigfoot story.
Yeah.
Unusually handsome Bigfoot.
Just the 8-year-old describing his grandpa as if it was a fucking romance novella.
It's being ghost written by the granddaughter.
Yeah, that's a that book labeled Organs, Tiny Terrors, that I'm going to call Lil Guys.
Just capital LILGUIS.
Yep.
I like it.
Well, can these little things beat a hippo?
That's tough.
I'm going to say yes.
Easily. I'm going to say no if a mousetrap can fucking get them.
Well, that's the thing. If it becomes what the hippo wants it to be, it could, you know, like become right. its own undoing.
It could become a Mokele Mbembe.
Exactly.
I mean, hypothetically, they could, you know, just materialize swarms of rats inside the hippo and explode it.
All right. Yeah. All right.
I think swarms of many things.
That's right. So, swarms of alligators.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. If it's hornbills, they want.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, these little guys, these little fey fucks, can definitely beat a hippo.
The problem is they just, you know, it's economically smart to be tiny, so you could enjoy that little closet.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But
yeah.
If they had, they could have become. It also makes the food the bigger. Family, but then they get a lot dude. More food, and it's like, oh no.
Dude, that'd be so cool to be a little guy and just like dive into a fucking thing of Jell-O.
Dude, when I was a kid, that's I used to like dream about that, like fantasize about like being like a small guy in a spaceship flying around Christmas trees. Because it just seemed like it'd be awesome.
That would be visually right. Awesome.
It'd be so fun. It'd be unbelievably cool. You have like a little hideout and stuff. It'd be like the Borrowers, but awesome.
Yeah. But with guns.
No. They do not.
Well, I mean, you know, with like a shmup ship flying around.
Yeah, a little gummy ship.
Basically, yes. Something like that.
Plug emendations.
Well, I had something, but I forgot.
Oh, I think we all got to do rat songs, but I need a rat song now.
Oh, well, I mean, look, if we're doing rat songs, I got to hit with the deep, deep lore. There's a rat song from the Italian animated film Lucky and Zorba that hits pretty crazy. Have you never heard of this, Alan?
No, I don't know what any of this
I've never heard of it either.
There's an Italian animated movie from like the early 2000s, I think, called Lucky and Zorba, about like a kitten and a seagull that become friends.
Yeah.
And like a rat, there's a rivalry between cats and rats, obviously, and the rats are going to eat the seagull and they sing a rat song. That's awesome. And this was dubbed in English, by the way. So it's not just like, oh, it's a cool Italian rat song. But yeah, that's the rat song that I'm going to plug. Lucky and Zorba is the rat song. You can find it on YouTube.
Takes place on the Titanic.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Cause I've never seen the movie. I just am aware of this song from the movie. I got my ear to the ground when it comes to rat songs, for obvious reasons. How about you, Garrett?
I mean, I said mine earlier, the Templeton. Like,
oh, that's true. That's true.
But I was gonna plug something other than a rat song.
Oh well, okay. What are you gonna plug?
So a few weeks ago, me and my roommate and friend Sean went to Little Tokyo so I could sell some Gundam models.
Mm-hmm.
And with the store credit I got. I got something that I've been looking for forever.
What's that?
So I know I've plugged before the 1996 anime Street Fighter 2V.
Yes.
Yeah. I got the DVDs for that now.
Oh, cool.
Because it used to be on YouTube for free, and now it's nowhere for no.
Yeah. It just doesn't exist anymore.
So I got the box set, and the second disc was really scratched up, so I was really worried it just wasn't going to play, but nah, I played fucking fine.
That's good.
And I'm double glad, because that second disc has my favorite episodes on it.
Oh, really?
Ryu in prison, and
yes.
And yes. All the stuff with Dhalsim.
He gets picked up for drug smuggling in the Golden Triangle.
Yeah. He lands in Thailand, and some guy slips heroin in his bag.
Like, wait, but I'm a martial artist. I take such good care of my body. Why would I pollute it with drugs?
And then the guy's like, I've seen a bunch of kids lie about this. I'm going to send you to prison.
That's also how Sagat gets the scar, right?
No, he doesn't get the scar in this one.
Okay. Yeah, because Sagat's like an anti-hero in jail.
Sagat was a Muay Thai champion who has been putting down his opponents so fast that they don't have time to put bets in. And so the mafia, the global mafia, run by Bison.
That's the Bison said, we're not making enough money off Sagat's Muay Thai winnings. Get him in there.
I know we control every crime scene in the world, but this is really hitting our pocket.
So they're like, you're going to throw the fight. And he's like, fuck no, I'm not. And then they stuck a bunch of drugs into his apartment and felt like, just,
Yep.
And then he
called in the hit.
Then he just fights Ryu in prison and they thumbs up each other for like 30 seconds.
Yep.
What's wild is Ryu's basically in holding. Like, he's not like, he's not convicted of anything yet.
Yeah, like, and they're still waiting for like his attorney.
He's like 2 minutes into the being in that prison. The warden has him strung up by chains and is bull whipping him.
Yeah. I mean, like, they don't mess around in Thailand, all right?
And the guy's just crying. He's like, why won't you scream?
So much easier when I'm just beating up 12-year-olds that got framed for smuggling heroin. Like I just
And I completely forgot that Ken and Ryu in this are 17.
Yeah. Yep. Well, they, you know, they're kind of fudging the timeline a lot because they're like supposed to be in training. They're on their like training adventure.
They used to, they trained together as kids, like when they were 7 or 8. And then Ken invites Ryu to America just to like hang out because he's bored winning all the karate tournaments. Then they go to a bar to pick fights.
Accurate.
And Ken is only drinking bottled water in this entire show, and it's always Evian.
That's environmental storytelling right there.
And they get the shit kicked out of him by Guile. And then like, oh man, we don't know nothing about street fighting. And then they go and learn how to shoot fireballs by tunnel scene.
That's right. You gotta learn the power of the Hado. That's the crazy power-up montage that lasts forever.
The 3 episodes of Ryu on the beach swinging his arms around? while Ken is in a cage fight with Vega.
Yes.
And then Ryu just gets bopped on the head and kidnapped by fucking Zangief.
It's like the nurse grip. It's just right there.
I was watching it with Sean, and he's like, none of these characters are who they are supposed to be, except for Guile and Ken.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I feel like the show took some nods from like the live action movie and like also from the Deke animated show. Because I'm pretty sure the Deke animated show came out in like 93 or 94. Like, I think I get the feeling the show, even though obviously it was like produced in Japan, I get the feeling that it was like just going based on like existent media, if that makes sense.
No, Deke Street Fighter was 95.
Okay.
Like year.
Because that was like the same year that the movie came out, right?
The Street Fighter 2 movie?
No, Street Fighter the movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme. The movie.
Well, I gotta go really soon, you guys.
Okay, what's your
plug, Alan?
A rat synth.
Oh, you got a rat synth?
Yeah, I got a little animatronic synth of a rat that goes wah, 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 and he plays all the notes and smacks the keyboard up.
Well, look, I love everything about that, actually. That's maybe the greatest thing I've ever heard.
They took it off the market. It's that you, but I will always sell it illegally.
Okay. How much does one of these guys go for? Plug your story.
$120.
$120, and it gets you
a
motor
rat controller. Synth. You can control other motors that aren't rats, but you get the rat, and the rat is really expensive.
Okay. Ooh, I see.
Like a $40 Halloween rat. So it's a deal.
Okay. No, I like it. I like it. You just rig it up on a little keyboard and it, you know, activates the synth.
He does all the work for me. He's just right here.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
I love it.
Right there. Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Happy Rat-a-ween, you guys.
Happy Rat-giving.
No, but yeah.
It's rat miss.
It's rat he gets noises. Can we make that the 5th shirt when Shefton does the other 4?
Happy Rat-giving.
No, rats he wants is rats he gets.
Okay.
Fuck yes, you can.
We'll just say it's based on a true story.
Well, it is. I read it.
That's true. We're all thinking it.
You know what, Alan? You draw some fucking kick-ass rats.
You're right. I should bring back the rats.
That's true. Yeah. I agree, Alan. Yeah, you should make the first shirt.
Right.
Make the first.
I'm gonna
one,
make
Alan.
The first. My first effort.
Well, I guess that would be the second one.
Is coming out.
That would be the second one.
I'll print up some fucking demos of that. If it's Ratsy Wands, it's Ratsy Get Shirts.
It's gonna happen now. Okay, we're doing
it. It's true.
All right, I am out of it. After I do this application, I'm gonna do so much.
Hell yeah.
All right, Alan.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye, Alan.
Goodbye.
It's just us now.
Oh no, I'm cornered. I gotta go.
So Street Fighter the movie came out in 94, and Street Fighter the animated Street Fighter 2 movie also came out in 94.
Okay, interesting. But the animated movie was like clearly Japanese, right?
So was the
I'm not misremembering that.
Yeah.
And Street Fighter V was also Japanese.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's weird. Well, then Ken is a redhead and Ryu has like spiky hair.
Yeah.
And like the spiky hair Ryu's kind of forgivable because, like, okay, he's like 17. He's not a world warrior yet. Like,
sure.
Yeah, no, Ken has his exact personality that he has to this day.
Yeah.
And Guile, military guy, easy. But, like, Dhalsim being a master of Hado.
Yeah. And he's, like, kind of Yoda-esque.
Yeah, he sends them into the fucking cave where you have to fight their fucking darkness.
Yeah.
But the show's so fucking wacky. It's my favorite.
All the Akumas. That the best part is Akuma in the background.
Yeah,
Akuma was stalking them the whole time.
I keep forgetting like Kami's in this show.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this, like to the show's defense, like I think by this point. Because I don't think Alpha was out until, like, 96, 97. So, like, I just don't think there was much lore anyway.
No, there wasn't. That's why, like, that's what I like about it, is it's not only is there, like, no lore, it's kind of a prequel to the game, but also...
Well, that's the other thing I was going to say.
But also, it is, because they're just going around fighting people in their own locales.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it came out... So, Alpha did come out in 95. So I'd have to look. You know, actually, that makes sense because doesn't Chun-Li have the Street Fighter Alpha costume in the anime?
She has a couple outfits, and one of them is similar.
It's like the blue bodysuit with a little vest.
Oh no, she's got like a pink one.
Okay,
but it's all super baggy because she's 15.
That's right.
Her dad is the like martial arts master that like taught her and Fei Long how to fight.
And he taught Fei Long how to fight.
Yeah, Fei Long, the famous movie star.
Yep.
That show kicks so much fucking ass. The soundtrack is fucking great. I love that opening.
That's what I was going to say. The opening is where it's at.
The opening...
I remember very little about it.
Except for
but I remember that opening. And, right?
It's definitely trying to compete with the fucking Mortal Kombat like techno opening. And I think it fucking does. I think they are on par with each other.
Somebody yelling out there in the background.
Well... I guess we can just end this, though. We've set our plugs.
That's true.
We do have to have the bonus episodes of us just talking about shit we like.
That's true. Well, I mean, look, that needs to be the... Because, I mean, that honestly, that's the podcast format. You just talk about stuff that you like for 4 hours. Just kind of go where the conversation takes you, which I'm in favor of, honestly.
Well,
you pick a thing you're going to talk about and come with, you know, a little bit prepared.
Yeah. Well, we should do a bunch of bonuses like that with Maha specifically.
Yeah, that's true. We should get him in on it. Get Alan to talk about some stuff that he likes. Because I mean, like with Alan, it's gonna be some like zany inside baseball stuff that nobody's ever heard of, and that's always interesting.
It's always the best.
There's you know little dips here and there of things that people might know. But okay, I'll let you go. I gotta go check out a sale as well.
All right, remember, all you need to do to be a cryptozoologist is to say you're a cryptozoologist.